everyone. This is Bonsoir Anxiety, and I am going to answer the bazillion questions you all gave me for my AMA. I have to admit, I thought I'd maybe get like 5, and I was really nervous to even put up an AMA because I thought, who the hell cares what I have to say? But you guys seriously proved me wrong with that, so I will answer as many as I can, but I got way more than I expected. So, I will start off with the basics. I got a few of these. No, I am not French. I've never been French. I don't speak French. The name... So I created my Reddit profile about 2 years ago because I wanted to participate in the Mr. Robot subreddit. In the show, the main character, Elliot, has really bad social anxiety. I also have social anxiety, so I was like, haha, I'll put anxiety in there. And then there was another character in the show who, whenever he greets Elliot, he says, bonsoir, Elliot. And I don't know why, but he says bonsoir. So anyway, Bonsoir Anxiety was born. And side note, if you've never seen Mr. Robot, I just cannot recommend it more. It's so good. Oh my god, it's my favorite show. Anyway, fast forward to last April when I wrote my first script. And then I wrote a few more. And then I was like, well, shit. Now I'm Bonsoir Anxiety and that makes no sense. But I didn't create a new username because, you know, I already existed and clearly everyone was going to be confused if I created a new one. So anyway, that's where that comes from. Okay. So I'm just going to go through, I put all the questions in a Google Doc so I could kind of keep them all organized, and I'm just going to kind of go down the list and, you know, see what we can come up with. My dog will probably bark in the middle of this because that's what he does. He'll be dead asleep until I start recording, and then suddenly he's got to make all the noise. So we'll see if that happens. Okay. Question one. What book can you read over and over and not get tired of? Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Because I love all the Harry Potter books, but that one to me is... It's not the first one, which is kind of boring. It's the second one, which I really like, but it also has sort of the least amount of conflict, which sounds silly because I realize it's a children's book, but they get, like, pretty dark. So that one's just sort of a fun escapist thing. Waffles or pancakes? I like waffles, but I will always pick pancakes. If you could have one superpower, what would it be? I actually don't even know if this is considered a superpower or if it's just like a sci-fi thing, but I would love to be able to teleport because my brother lives 8 hours away, and he and his family, and I rarely see them. So if I could teleport, I could see them anytime I wanted to, and I think that would be awesome. This is a question that a few of you all had. How did you find GWA and what made you stick around? I won't say who, but I found someone on literatica.com, and I looked at their profile, and I can't remember if it took me to their Patreon or if it took me to Reddit, but somehow I got to Reddit, and I was like, wait a minute, what? And I didn't even know GWA was a thing, so I was like, holy crap, this is amazing. Even if I didn't script or anything, I stuck around because there was just so much variety and there was so much creativity. I don't know if you've ever been to Literatica, it's really boring. It's just mostly, it's basically like ramble faps the whole time, which is fine. Those are fine, but like that's all they are. Not a lot of story, which is why I ended up looking at the one person's profile because I was like, wow, this is really good. So anyway, I haven't gone back to Literatica since. Now let's see. Who has been your favorite VA to fill a script of yours? I would never, ever pick a favorite. I am massively appreciative to anybody who wants to fill one of my scripts. it's a great compliment that anyone even reads them. So, yeah, that's my answer to that. This question, where are you? You must use a cardinal direction. You may not use the name of a physical place or landmark. I thought about that for a minute and I was like, how the hell do you answer this? So this is my answer. I'm east of west, but west of east, and I'm north of south, but south of north. So I think that about covers it. All right. If you were to be awarded a silver second place medal or trophy for some aspect of life, what would it be? There's probably plenty of things I could pick, but I said baking because I'm really good at it, but I don't think I'm gold medal worthy. But I mean, it tastes good and really isn't that all that matters? What is the most annoying color? So I said yellow or orange, but really I think yellow. And the only reason I think that, my sister's bedroom growing up was yellow. And she was just the worst. She's 3 years older than me and basically was just bitter her entire life that I was even born. And so I associate the color yellow with just really bitter feelings. So I don't hate the color yellow, but I don't have it anywhere in my house or my wardrobe. What is your favorite novel? My favorite novel is The Shipping News by Annie Proulx, and her last name is spelled Proulx. And I think it was written in 94. I can't remember. I read it after that. But it's just, oh gosh, it's just a beautiful, beautiful book. And the main character has a just really interesting character arc. He really evolves. And it's set mostly in Newfoundland in Canada. And it's, oh gosh, it just sounds beautiful. It's just, I just love the way she writes. So anyway, I highly recommend it. And if you're interested, she's also the author who wrote Brokeback Mountain. So I don't know if that sells it for you or not, but all right. If you were stuck on an elevator, what would you do? I have been stuck on an elevator before and I pressed the call button. I don't know if that is the answer you were looking for, but that's what I did. And eventually the elevator started working again. So, let's see. If you were allowed to make one rule that everyone had to follow, what would it be? My rule would be everyone needs to chew with their fucking mouth closed. I don't know who the hell raised you people. We don't need to see your food. We don't need to hear that you're eating. Close your mouth. Needless to say, that is a huge pet peeve. Let's see. If you had a warning label, what would it say? So my warning label would be, I'm not always adorable. I get these people who just think I'm adorable all the time and I don't understand it, but I am not always adorable and you may be surprised. So there he is. I told you. I may have to pause this for a second. Okay, I'm going to keep going and see what happens. Nope. Jester. Hey. Hey. All right. We're going to mute this for a second, or pause this for a second. Okay, I'm back. Now Jester's mad at me because I told him to shut up. And he's standing here arguing with me. We're going to move on. What stereotype about your country/ethnicity do you dislike the most? I'm American, so there's like 500, but, I guess one I dislike the most is that we all love guns. I hate guns. I don't understand the obsession with guns. Clearly we have a problem with guns, but whatever. I'm not gonna go into that. All right. What physical aspect of the male body turns you on the most? I don't think anyone would be shocked to know that I have an obsession with necks. I can't explain it to you. I don't understand it, but Like, if I'm sitting behind a man and I can see his neck, I'm just like, oh, God. So anyway. And then it also says, if possible, female as well. Female body, I guess just, you know, I like curves. Which fictional character do you want to have sex with the most and why? I'm sure there's more than this, but my sister and my niece are schooling me in the world of Marvel, because I have not seen all the movies, and so we're watching them, well, mostly I'm watching them, in order of, like, the timeline, not when they came out, so that I can, you know, catch up with the world. And so anyway, I would probably say Captain America. Or even just Chris Evans. It doesn't have to be Captain America. But it says fictional character. So let's see. What are some of the biggest mistakes men make when it comes to sex, as well as dating / relationships, and what advice do you have for men on avoiding those mistakes? Basically, my main point here is, it's not enjoyable and it's basically downright painful when you rub a woman's clit like you're erasing a math problem. I think you know what I'm talking about. It's just painful, man. Like, don't do it. And once the pain subsides, there's basically no feeling there because you have rubbed away all sensation. So just chill. Also, do not skip foreplay. I am a big proponent of this, and I think I've commented on several people's surveys who have been like, what do women want to hear more of? If you skip foreplay and are just like, let's fuck, screw you, man. I'm sure plenty of women like that. That's fine. But I did a little research for you all, and there's a recent study that was done. It had 645 women, 20 different countries, and initially, it was about how long does it take the average woman to climax? And on average, it took 14 minutes. The range was 6 minutes to 20 minutes. But the main study's finding rendered its time to orgasm focus largely irrelevant, because 2/3 of the women, 69%, never climaxed solely from intercourse. And initially, that was what they wanted to kind of study, is how long it took a woman to orgasm just through intercourse. And most women can't orgasm just through intercourse. So hello, figure it out, dudes. Anyway, that is my PSA for foreplay. And if you want to know why I have so much kissing in my script, that's why. Also because I love kissing, but nonetheless. Okay. What type of erotic audios will you absolutely not listen to or record yourself? I don't like extreme MDOM or FDOM, for that matter. I don't like degradation or humiliation. I'm not into choking or pain of any kind. I don't really do rape or incest or monster, except for my last script, I think it's my last one, which was a Halloween thing, and it was completely different than anything I ever wrote before, and clearly people don't like it when I write about rape or incest, because no one read it, but it was fucking hilarious, just FYI, you missed out. But anyway, generally I don't record or write that kind of stuff. Let's see. What is something other women do that you simply don't understand or can't relate to? There's probably a lot of things, but I've never understood putting makeup on in the car while you're driving. Like, when I used to commute to work before COVID, I would get so annoyed when I'd see a woman, like, in my rearview mirror, like, you know, with her visor down, looking in the mirror, doing her mascara or whatever. And I'm like, really? Like, either wake up earlier or do it when you get to your destination. Like, it's just so stupid. I don't know. I don't wear a lot of makeup, so that could be why I don't get it. But I also, it's just stupid. Like, stop doing it, ladies. If you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, what advice would you give her? My advice would be, people are way more concerned with themselves than they are with you. And by that, I mean, I still am. I was going to say I was. Always worried that people are, you know, staring at me and judging me and, like, whatever. And I would tell myself, no, they're all more concerned with themselves. They don't even know you're there. So, yes, that's what I would say. What was the last movie you saw? In theaters, I can't even remember. But the last movie I saw was Black Widow, which was excellent. And no, I saw it out of order from my Marvel education, but I was at my sister's house for dinner and my niece really wanted to watch it because it's her favorite movie. Which, basically every new Marvel movie that comes out is her favorite movie. Okay, have you ever cried during a movie? If yes, tell us about that. If not, then what movie had a massive emotional impact on you? I freaking cry all the time. And it's ironic because I hate crying, which is probably why I cry so much. But I don't remember even what I was watching. I was watching it with one of my friends a couple weeks ago. And the song Calling All Angels was playing. And I don't know if you've ever heard that song, but my God, it's sad. And I can't even remember what was happening on the screen. Just the song itself just made me immediately tear up. And I was very glad when it was done. So yeah, I cry more than I'd like to. If all the sex toys you own came to life, Toy Story style, how would they behave and what would they talk about? Gosh, this is such a funny question. I feel like they'd be like, why don't you use us more? But yeah, we'll move on from that. When was the last time you called someone a cunt and why? Literally never called anyone a cunt because I cannot stand that word. I know it's used a lot in other countries and it's just another curse word, but it's not my jam. So the only time I've ever said it is like right now when I was reading it in a sentence, or sometimes people write it in scripts and I'll you know, read it then. But in general, I don't use it. What was your favorite cartoon growing up? I loved the Looney Tunes cartoons. I watched them all the time. And it's actually amazing how much history you can learn from them, because there were so many references I didn't get. And I would ask my mom and she'd tell me. And now I feel like I just have kind of a really good pop culture education just from that. But aside from that, my favorite cartoon was Danger Mouse. Look him up. He's pretty awesome. We're getting into some deep questions, y'all. How much does religion matter to you in a relationship? Would you be okay with dating someone who believes in God? Would you be more comfortable if your partner didn't believe in God? This is kind of a tough one for me. I was raised Catholic, but I don't currently practice anything. I'm not really an atheist. I suppose I would be considered agnostic. I don't really know what the hell to believe. I don't care if people believe in God, and I don't care if people are atheists. My best friend's an atheist. What I care most about is people being judgmental about whether or not you believe in God. Like, my best friend is awesome, but she's so judgmental about people who do believe in God. And I had to have like a come to Jesus moment with her once, where I was like, dude, it's cool that you don't believe in God. I don't care, but stop being a bitch about everyone else who does. Like, and I get it, Christians and whoever else, all the religious people can be the worst sometimes. But why be that way yourself? Like, if you don't like it, you know, I don't know. So, I don't think it would be, it's not like a deal breaker at all if someone does or doesn't believe in God. It's just, I suppose, how fervently they do or don't. When it comes to politics, would you be okay with dating someone on the opposite spectrum? Like, let's say you are left, right, left wing, would you be okay with dating someone who is right wing? And I am definitely left wing. I'm not far left, but I'm pretty fucking left. And I wish I could say that I'd be totally cool with dating someone who is right wing, but it's really hard because right now, I mean, it used to just be if you were, you know, you'd fiscally conservative, less government control, you know, that kind of thing. But nowadays, it just means that you want God everywhere in government. You love guns. You hate science. You hate abortion in cases of rape or incest. You hate anyone who isn't Christian. You're, you know, racist and misogynistic. And am I being, you know, like completely stereotypical? Yes, I'm being awful right now. I get that. But that's like the general vibe, at least in my country. And so, no, I can't. Like, if you voted for Trump and you're the hottest person in the world, sorry. Like, I literally can't be friends with you. Anyway, is using coupons on a first date sexy? I guess I wouldn't say it's sexy, but it's like, it's not the worst thing you could do. I suppose it's how you did it. If you were like, I'm really cheap and I had a coupon for this restaurant, so that's why we're going here. Like, that would be weird. I don't know. I think it would just depend on how you did it. In general, I wouldn't be like, wow, that's sexy. He likes to save money. Let's see. When you are dating someone new, do you think serious topics or questions should be avoided, saved for later, and keep the dates casual? Or should they be talked about as early as possible? Let's say we're referring to the first 3 to 4 dates. I guess it depends on what serious topics are. Like, I wouldn't, like, just come out on the first date and be like, I want to be married before I'm 30. Which, you know, spoiler alert, I'm over 30 and not married. But I think if something comes up organically, then, like, I think that's fine. But I wouldn't just be like, okay, here are my 5 awful questions for you or something. Have you ever cheated on anyone? No. Have you ever cucked anyone? No. Do you find tall men more attractive than short men? I am tall. I'm 5'11". And I will say, yes, I do find tall men more attractive, but it's mostly because I'm tall and I feel like a fucking giant when I'm with people who are shorter than me. And not like in a cool, well, not like Amazons are cool, but like, you know, sexy Amazonian woman. I just feel like a fucking giant. And it's just not fun to feel that way. Do you find muscular men more attractive than non-muscular men? I don't know. I don't really care. I'm not generally into like huge muscles. In general, I'm not super into muscular men, but I'm also, I don't know, I'm not the kind of person who is like, well, you don't fit the, you know, idea I had of the perfect man, like, whatever. So, okay, 6'5 guy with a 10-inch dick or a 5'5 guy with a 5-inch dick. You guys are really giving me the hard-hitting questions here. I don't know. I don't really care. I know I'm not speaking for all women, but I think guys are way more obsessed with dick size than women. Cause honestly, if it's really big, it's fucking scary. So, you know, just remember, you know, I don't know. we're moving on from that question. Okay, this is very serious and I hope I can do it justice. I have none of the physical characteristics most women want in men. Tall, muscular, big hands, big dick, square jaw, and not bald. I'm the complete opposite of that. I'm short, chubby, small hands, small dick, round face, and going bald. Do I honestly have a chance? I feel like I'm going to either die as a virgin or end up with a woman who isn't really attracted to me, but just sort of in the mindset of, eh, he'll do, I guess. I don't know who posted this. It was posted anonymously. But I wish I could just give you a big hug. I know how desperate it can feel sometimes. And, you know, I'm not married. I'm single. So take this with a huge grain of salt. But I do know plenty of women, I truly do, who are married to men who don't fit, you know, the idealized body shape and attractiveness and all that jazz. Many of them met through online dating, and they are the happiest couples I've ever known. And I mean, the women are average as well. It's not like they're all supermodels and whatever. Like, it's just most people in the world are average, you know, and there's not really anything wrong with that. I can say I don't know any men who have done the same, where they have met and married, or at least dating women who don't fit the idealized body type. Like, I could go on forever about all the men I know who are, you know, shorter or chubbier or bald or whatever, and I don't give a shit about any of that. I'm just saying, as far as, like, quote-unquote beauty standards, and they're all dating or married to small, petite, beautiful women, so whatever. Anyway, no, I don't think it's hopeless for you. I do think you have a chance, an honest chance. But like I said, I may not be the right person to ask because I'm, yeah, single. Okay. Have you finished your French course in greetings yet? My answer to that is no. Okay. If I have the timeline right, you started off solely writing and then moved on to performing. What joys have you found unique to performing, and which do you still find unique to writing? I love writing because it is all from my own head, and it's literally like my own content, you know, my own creativity or whatever. But I love performing because it's a different kind of escapism. I don't have to think as much when I'm performing because I'm just reading what someone else wrote, you know? And yeah, and I really enjoy kind of not being in my own head for a little bit because it's just crazy up in there. I'm always curious about the extent to which people visualize the scene. I vary wildly, is what this person says. Have you found that you do so more or less since taking the plunge into voice work, or is it about the same? I definitely visualize the scene when I'm writing a script, but recording is different. I don't really visualize the scene when I'm recording. A lot of times recording is just really technical and not very sexy. Like, the end product is sexy, but the process is very much not. Let's see. No limits on you or any other performer's ability to commit time, effort, editing, sound effects work, etc. If you could write and or perform one balls-to-the-wall GWA epic, what would it be? Well, I guess we'll find out, because I did think about this question. And I have ideas, but nothing I'm ready to share yet. So, I guess stay tuned, but don't get your hopes up. No limits on money, space, taste, or the laws of physics. Describe your dream writer's office, studio, or shack in the woods, etc. So this is not glamorous at all. But it's actually a Stephen King movie with Johnny Depp called Secret Window. And he lives in a rustic cabin on a lake. And it just looks like your grandparents' cabin, you know? Old furniture and just not cute at all, but like so super cozy. And he's actually a writer, and he has his own little writing area and stuff. And I just love rustic cabins, so I would love to have a place like that. I think that would be cool. Even just in general, not even for writing or doing recordings. If you could marry any fictional character, who would you marry? There's a lot who I probably would, but just off the top of my head, I would say Jim from The Office. And in the U.S. version, I haven't seen the British one, so I assume Jim is the same character, but What's an idea you have yet to execute writing? So, a billion years ago, I took a trip to Europe, and I went all over the place, and there was like a particular scenario when I was in Greece that was awesome, and it would make such an awesome script. But I think that my problem is that there are so many details, and because it's based on a true story, I'm trying to make it exactly like how it happened instead of, well, this is what would make sense for a script. So I haven't been able to get it right. But anyway, there's one. Describe your perfect three-course meal. Most of this will be something my mom has made because she's an amazing cook. She makes this salad, and I don't know if everyone knows what Melba toast is, but I don't know. It's just sort of thick, dry bread, like crackery. But she crumbles it up, you know, so it's good texture in there. But then the salad dressing, and I actually hate mayo. I hate it, but I love this dressing. It's mayo and like more garlic than you could ever imagine. And then like just a ton of Parmesan cheese mixed in there. And then you know, let it sit for a while before you actually use it. So the garlic really, really gets in there. This isn't the kind of salad you want to have on a date. I suppose unless you both eat it and then you both are extra garlicky. But anyway, it's a delicious salad. Second course, pan roasted maple glazed salmon. Oh my God. I had this once. And actually I think it was maple and soy sauce mixed together. So it was really crusty and like caramelized. Oh my God. I love salmon too. It's just delicious. Mashed potatoes with the skin. So usually like red potatoes or new potatoes. And asparagus always goes well with salmon. And then dessert is like a toss up because I love dessert. But, since we're going with my mom, she makes this amazing coconut cake, and she just gets better every time she makes it, and I always ask for it on my birthday because not everyone likes coconut, so she doesn't make it any other time, but if it's your birthday, you know. So anyway, now I'm hungry. I haven't had breakfast yet, so I don't think I'll be having salmon for breakfast though. Okay, so this is like a bunch of rapid fire questions here. If you could be any dinosaur, which one would you be and why? I gave this way too much thought because that is literally what I do. I just overthink everything. So if we're talking actual dinosaur, like from the Jurassic era, I'd say pterodactyl because they can fly and I assume easily escape their predators. And side note, birds still exist and they're called avian dinosaurs, which I think is funny. So anyway, clearly, pterodactyl is the way to go. Okay, favorite color is blue. Favorite soup, chicken and wild rice. Favorite fast food and why? McDonald's french fries because they're fucking amazing, salty deliciousness. Pineapple on pizza, yay or nay? Nay. Do you pour your milk or cereal first? Do people pour the milk first? Like, I didn't know that was a thing. I definitely pour the cereal first. Dishwasher or washing dishes by hand? Dishwasher, for sure. What's your favorite dog breed and why? Golden Retriever, because I grew up with Golden Retrievers. We had four, I think, as I was growing up. Because they're just the sweetest, goofiest, most loving dogs you've ever known. And you just literally cannot be unhappy around them. I love them. And Chester's staring at me because he knows he is not a golden retriever. But I love you. He's a Chihuahua pug mix, which I call a chug. And he's also amazing. So, yes, you're amazing. Okay. Coffee or tea? Coffee. Creamer or milk? Creamer. Pie or cake? Almost always cake. But I do love French silk pie. Okay. First and most important, clearly in your eyes is the best scene in Say Anything, But what is the next best scene? So this particular person, he and I both love the movie Say Anything, and we've talked about this before. I'm pretty sure that he thinks that there is an actual right answer to this, but I disagree because the movie is awesome and I can't pick just one. So if we're going with next best romantic scene, that's a tough one, but I think my favorite is after their first date. So they go to a graduation party and they stay up all night, and he's walking her home from like a convenience store where he's gotten like a, you know, like a 64 ounce drink or whatever. And he kicks away some glass so that she won't walk on it. And it's just ridiculously, adorably awkward and sweet. They get to her house and she says, "Call me tomorrow." And he says, "Today is tomorrow." And she says, "Then call me later." Anyway, it's just adorable. So then if we're talking about non-romantic scene, again, there are just too many, but I'll tell you two of my favorites, and this may be cheating and I don't even care. The Lloyd Dobler, the, you know, John Cusack character, his best friend is named Corey. And at this party, she had recently broken up with her boyfriend, Joe, and she had written 65 songs all about her ex-boyfriend, and she wanted to sing them all at the party. So there's one scene where we see her, and she's singing the song called Joe Lies, and she's just like, "Joe lies when he cries," and it's just like uber emo and dramatic. But then she sees Joe in the doorway and she stands up and gets angry. And then she starts singing this song called, oh, I'm assuming it's called "That'll Never Be Me." And so she's like, "That'll never be me. That'll never be me." And it's just fucking hilarious. I don't even know if it's supposed to be hilarious or not, but it is. Second is the gas and sip scene where Lloyd's bros are hanging out. They're hanging out at a gas and sip, which is just like a 7-Eleven, basically. Eating Funyuns and just drinking beer, and they're giving him advice on chicks. And Lloyd's like, "If you guys know so much about women, what are you doing here hanging out at a gas and sip on a Saturday night with no women anywhere?" And they all kind of pause for a second and they're like, "By choice, man. Yeah." And one guy says, "Yeah, I'm choosing it." Yeah. So anyway, excellent, excellent film. My God, it's so good. Okay. I've distracted myself. What motivated you to publish your first script? How did it feel when you got your first fill? So it's so strange to me that I even decided to publish a script, because if you knew me, I am not the kind of person who's just like, "Well, I gotta write a script because nothing, you know." So I found GWA, and when I found it, and there still are, but when I found it, there were a lot of Monster Girl and rape and hardcore MDOM audios. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. It's just not really my thing. And I was like, "Well, what the fuck, man?" Not only, though, was there that, but then there were like a ton of audios that were like, "Oh my God. Like, I fingered you for 2 minutes and you came, and then we fucked for 2 minutes and you came again." And I'm like, "Well, no." So I don't even know. I literally can't explain what possessed me, but I was like, "I'm gonna write a script." And I was about to say this is TMI, but then I remember that I freaking wrote it all in my description. So it's been out there since April. I am on antidepressants, and, you know, having an orgasm in 2 minutes is a fantasy for most women, let alone anyone on an antidepressant. So I was like, "Yeah, this is what we're gonna do." And I wrote a script that was about a woman who was on an antidepressant. She's with a new boyfriend, and basically she is embarrassed because it takes her a long time to climax, and she's telling him like, "Don't worry about it. You don't need to do anything." And he's like, "Wait a minute, you know, I'm different than most guys. I'm gonna be patient." And anyway, I was freaking blown away by how many people that script resonated with. I was like, oh my God. Like, I put it out there. First of all, I can't even believe I put so much information about myself in there, because it's not me generally. But I just, something motivated me. So, I was really excited that people were so into it. And when I got my first fill, I was like, I remember listening to it and just like dying laughing. Not because of the VA, but because I was like, holy shit, something I wrote, like somebody is performing it. And it was just like, just this strange feeling, you know? It was very cool though. Okay, so that probably took longer than it needed to. You are the creator of an amazing, not safe for work rom-com. Thank you. Are there other genres you'd like to do a series for? So I've sort of been toying with the idea of someone wanting to get into FDOM or MSUB, depending on how I want to go. I can't decide how I want to go there. So I haven't really done much with it. It's just sort of a thought percolating. So we'll see. But I mean, I have the Kisses saga to continue, so I can't be bothered with other, with other series. Bonus question. When you write, do you plot it out first, or do you set up the premise and characters and see where they take you? Have you ever been surprised by the outcome? Generally, I have an idea of the scenario. So like for 1,000 Kisses, for example, I knew I wanted a script that was basically all kissing. Other than that, I had no idea how I was going to execute it. I don't remember the process, but once I figured out that, oh, okay, it'll be at a wedding reception, then I just wrote it and it was exactly how I wanted it to be. I have been surprised by the outcome though, because sometimes I'll have an idea in mind, but then as I'm writing, I see that maybe it makes more sense for them to do something else, or I'll be like, oh wait, this is way more interesting. So like, when I wrote What If We Met in College, in the middle of writing it, I was like, oh, this would be really cool if suddenly she goes from sub to dom and then he has to narrate what she's doing to him. Because in the story, he sort of narrates what he's doing to her. But then it, you know, switches. So it's good stuff. It's actually one of my favorites. I do really like it. Okay. What got you into writing for GWA and the story-driven plots your scripts have? So we know what got me into writing. I cannot speak for all women, but I really enjoy story-driven plots. I like to have the build-up. I love a slow burn. And I'm just not really a I'm horny, let's fuck kind of person. And that's fine sometimes. Like, I'm not here to judge people. It's just not what I generally want to listen to. So that's where that came from. What got you into performing and were you nervous? So I literally never wanted to perform ever. I was like, I don't know how people do it. I was always in awe of people who did it. And I thought I could never do that. Oh my God. Like, just the thought of it gave me a panic attack. But I was going through some personal stuff that was sort of like stifling my ability to write anything. I kind of lost my mojo for a while, and I'm still kind of getting it back. But, oh my God, my stomach just growled really loudly. I don't know if that was recorded or not. I need to have breakfast. Anyway, so I was bored one day. You know, I hadn't been able to write scripts for a little bit, and I was needing like a creative outlet. And I saw a Safe for Work script that I really liked. And I just read it out loud. And I was like, ah, let's record it. And I did. And when I posted it, I was like, what the fuck am I doing? My God, you know, and that was a Safe for Work script. But it just, I don't know. I never thought I'd even do that. And then like Safe for Work scripts are like the gateway drug to not Safe for Work scripts. So I did several safe for work before I was like, oh my God, going to the dark side. But anyway, it's fun. Do you listen to music when you write scripts? And if you do, what do you listen to? So I do have a scripting playlist that's just super random. There are some like romantic or sexy songs in it, like Come Back to Bed by John Mayer. And then there's a song called 2 Weeks by FKA Twigs, which is a fucking hot song if you haven't heard it. Like, definitely recommend it. But then I just have random songs in there that I love just because they make me happy. So like U2 is my favorite band, so there's a ton of U2 in there. And then Shut Up and Dance by Walk the Moon. I love that song. It just makes me happy. My favorite random ass song that's on there though, it's called I Believe in a Thing Called Love by The Darkness. And I don't even know if they're still around, but they were like a British metal hair band. They had an album out in, I think, 2003. And it's just a ridiculously awesome song. And it makes me smile every time I listen to it. Like, I'm smiling now just thinking about it. Also, though, it reminds me of a very specific, awesome memory. So that also, like, it's not, I love the song, but it also is attached to that memory. And there's a lot of songs in my playlist that are like that, that I love them anyway, but there's like an added joy to them because they remind me of something awesome. So it's more about just energy and the mood that the songs put me in. It's not about like, here's my sexy scripting playlist, you know? My God, I've been talking forever. Okay, we're gonna do this. I think beginning to write scripts has really changed how I listen to audios. I pay attention to things that I was oblivious to before. How, if at all, has becoming a performer changed your perspective as a writer? I'm extremely detailed in my scripts, possibly to a fault, but I'm not gonna admit that. So I actually appreciate my attention to detail more. I know a lot of people really like the freedom to do whatever. But I like to at least have some direction. You don't need to tell me literally everything, but when it just says improv sex to orgasm, well, what the hell does that mean? Like, should we talk about something? Do you care if it's fast or slow? Should it be dirty or sweet? Does it matter if I'm on top? How long should it last? Like, and again, I'm not expecting you to be like, 3 minutes and 23 seconds, but just. I don't know. I personally don't like having so much freedom to record. But also, I'm really bad at improv. Like, yeah, it would, oh my God. I would just be sitting there the whole time, just being like, yeah. So that's what I would do. What is your favorite opera? I've only really heard a few operas. I'm not like a huge opera buff, but my favorite is La Bohème. Because one of my favorite movies is Moonstruck, and it's a theme throughout that movie. It's also a great movie if you've never seen it. Okay, how do you feel about writing for yourself versus posting, for example, a male for female script? I apologize for the sniffing. I'm suddenly getting a runny nose. And I know that's probably annoying, and I'm trying really hard not to. Okay, I don't know if this is weird or not, but like I feel really like weirdly conceited or narcissistic when I write for myself. I feel like I'm like, hey guys, like look how amazing I am. I write and perform my own content. Like, I can't be bothered to perform your content. So I don't know. Have I ever mentioned yet that I'm neurotic? Because if I haven't, I'm sure you've figured that out by now. But I'm freaking neurotic, and I don't know. I always feel weird recording my own stuff. I don't know if everyone does, and you just get over it or what, but okay. What, in your opinion, separates erotica from pornography? I mean, I don't know if there's a right answer to this, but I think to me, erotica is maybe a bit more substance. I hate saying it's art because that just sounds really pretentious to me, but maybe it is art, and I'm just ridiculous, but I think of erotica as being more about the story and the scenario and the setting or excuse me, setting the scene. And like pornography is just basically about the sex. At least that's, you know, how I see it. What makes narratives appealing to you? Is it because there's more story to tell? So there's a few reasons, actually. One is purely practical. They're easy. You know, you don't have to get yourself situated and figure out logistics and, you know, any of that kind of stuff. Like, you can literally just read. And narratives are kind of like a giant monologue, so they can be really dramatic. And I'm not really dramatic in real life, so it's a lot of fun to perform those. I don't know. And lastly, I just really enjoy being read to. I think it's really relaxing and kind of comforting. So flip side of that, I like reading to people. I was that kid in class who loved reading out loud. So anyway, that's why. Secondly, please share the secret of how you come up with such fitting tags. I mean, I don't know that they're all fitting, but what I usually try to do is I put all the tags in that will help someone decide whether they want to know more. So, like, I think most people just look at the tags, and if it doesn't pique their interest, they move on. So I try to make sure everything that's in the script or audio, but usually if it's an audio, you know, the tags are already present from the script. I'm trying to make sure that everything is represented. And I always have at least one funny tag because I'm me and I just like to have funny tags. Okay. Goodness sakes, there's lots more. I should have whittled this down more. Okay, what's one thing you're proud of? I don't know if this means like in life or on GWA, but in life, I'm very proud that I was able to buy my first house on my own almost exactly a year ago. So that's exciting. Funniest incident to happen on GWA or related areas. There's probably too many to count, but in my early days of recording, someone messaged me and said they were interested in collaborating. And I was like, naive as fuck, and was like, oh, cool. I haven't ever done that yet. Are you a VA? No, they weren't. Well, that should have been my first clue, but I'm like just too nice of a person. I was like, oh, so you want to get into recording? Cool. I get, you know, whatever. Anyway, long story short, we wound up on a Discord voice chat and they kept telling me they wanted to collaborate. And I was quickly beginning to understand that collaborate just meant phone sex. So I kept saying, well, you know, when people collaborate, they record separately and edit their voices in together. I was like, it's not as sexy as it sounds. And he was like, well, can't we just do it over speakerphone? And I was like, no, the quality would suck. And he was like, well, maybe we can. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. So anyway, lesson learned there. Most memorable script you've written and why? This is a tough one because it's like, you know, picking your favorite child. But I think I'd probably have to say that my most memorable script was my first one, Take Your Time, because it completely changed my life, really. And I realize that sounds so dramatic, but it's true. My life is very different from pre-GWA days. most memorable script you performed and why? I normally wouldn't call out a script, but I have to say it is Fishy's My MILF, My Mommy, My Vampire. Because it was just supposed to be kind of a joke. And it's my most listened to audio. So, you know, joke's on me. Let's see. If you could gain one animal trait, what would it be and why? I would like to communicate through dance like bees. Because I'm a terrible dancer. I feel like you have to be a pretty good dancer if you're going to communicate via dance. So I think I'd like that ability. Anything you want to share that hasn't been asked? no one would know to ask this, but I just think it's hilarious, so I'll tell y'all. I had completely forgotten about this until a few weeks ago when I was talking to one of my GWA friends, and I was like, holy shit, I can't believe I forgot that. So when I was in high school, my best friend and I were like really into romance novels, and we would write notes back and forth to each other every day that were basically sex scenes. Not like sex scenes to each other, but like, oh my God, you know that new cute guy? Well, this is what I do to him, you know? And I had like a shoebox full of these notes, and I don't know where the hell that shoebox is now. So that's kind of scary, but you know, I can't believe I've forgotten that. And I thought, wow, like it's all come full circle. What tags do you tend to like to listen to? Or what kind of content do you like listening to? This will come as no shock to anyone, but I like romantic stuff. You know, BFE, gentle F-dom, some gentle M-dom. I love me a subby man. You know, that's always good shit. Why do you think you're drawn to the audio medium in particular? I like audio because it's similar to reading in that you can visualize whatever you want. You're not being told what to see like in a movie. So I think that makes it more immersive. If you were an ice cream sundae, what would your flavor and toppings be? This is a tough one because I take my ice cream very seriously. My favorite flavor is mint chocolate chip, but if I was a sundae, I would be sweet cream ice cream, which is amazing if you've never had it, with chocolate sauce, shredded coconut for texture, and because I freaking love coconut, nuts for texture, and whipped cream and a cherry on top to just make it picture perfect. Are there more things you're looking forward to exploring here in writing or performing or just trying new themes and tags? I would really like to attempt to be less adorable in my script writing, but I have yet to be successful in that. And I do not mean that as a bragging thing. I never realized how like adorable I come off until I started doing this, and it was really frustrating when I first started because I was like, "Well, shit. Does everyone think I'm just like a fuzzy unicorn or something? Like, I don't know." Yeah, it actually was difficult for me to come to terms with at first, because I was like, my God, I can't be writing, you know, sex scripts and being adorable, but like that's apparently my thing. So anyway, we'll see if I ever achieve that. Anytime I thought I achieved it though, I literally get comments sort of like, this is adorable. And I'm like, okay, who paid you to say that? Anyway, playing with food in bed. Good fun or just annoying and messy? In bed, super messy. On the kitchen floor, good fun. What would be your perfect Saturday, realistic or not? My perfect Saturday always involves a nap at some point. I'm not saying I love doing yard work, but I love taking a nap after I've done a lot of work in the yard because I feel satisfied having accomplished something, and then I can take a nap with Chester and just relax knowing that, you know, I don't have anything else I need to do that day, usually. Especially if it's really breezy out and I have the windows open. That would be a nice Saturday. All right, we're at the end of the questions. I hope I didn't bore you all and that you know, got some sort of entertainment out of this. Thank you so much for listening. And I will, I don't know what the way to close this is supposed to be. Like, I'm not gonna see you. I was about to say, I'll see you soon. I'm like, well, I'm not gonna see you. But whatever the appropriate way to close this is, just picture that in your head. I'll talk to y'all later. Bye.